Rusty Quill presents.
Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care. If you found our show from Graham Patrick's guest writing on episode 3 of the Magnus Protocol, you might want to start with one of the campaigns he wrote on. Y'all of Cthulhu, our first ever season, is a complete horror campaign in the Old West. Next, we have Bleaker Trails, which is in the same setting. That has one complete season, and the final season is coming late in 2024. And if you're looking for something shorter and science fiction, we have a 6-episode Blade Runner series. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to see you around. Our Discord is slade.me/discord.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Natasha, you hit a 6. You were laying, I believe, across this pier, right? You feel thumps on the wood that's separating the softness of your breasts and your belly from the water, and you can feel water splashing up. It feels like someone is walking upside down beneath this pier, which is impossible at this moment. But this is what you taste, salt water and fish in the back of your throat. And you look down as Buddy is pushing this father towards you with open arms. And you can see that there are creatures darting in and out of the water around this. Something is excited. Something is agitated. Something is highly interested. And Natasha, in this moment, you feel like your mother has just dragged you out of the corners of some auditorium and thrown you on stage without preparing you for the music, without preparing you for the audience, without preparing you at all. She just put you out there, and you know at this moment that you are being observed, you are being watched. There is one right decision, and if you fuck this up, you're going to have to contend with her and potential failure.
I think that she freezes for a moment because she has that idea, but then she is unsure of like, well, okay, what is the right thing? And then just like in the back of her mind, she imagines that she can hear her mother's voice saying, "Let him drown." She kind of like draws back a little bit and maybe like sits back on her knees so that the water and the man are a little bit obscured by the edge of the pier.
And when one of these creatures that you can't quite tell what it is, how it is, grabs this man by his ankle and begins pulling him down, how do you feel watching a person drown?
I think that she is extremely practiced at recognizing when an overwhelming human emotion is bubbling up. Usually it's fear or sadness or pain. And she locks it down and kind of like her demeanor, she has this completely flattened affect. She's completely still. It's unnatural almost to look at her, but she makes herself numb, just completely numbs herself out.
Wow, you completely hit the manual override on your flight or fight. You just numb out.
It's like an internal flight. It's like she lets her mind flee.
Yeah.
Buddy, you're in the water right now. You were pushing this father towards the pier, and something yoinked him out of your grasp and is pulling him straight down.
Yeah, I think maybe I was distracted for a moment, kind of reaching for a support, thinking I was going to climb out as he's pulled out. And then at that moment, he's pulled down.
Straight down, out of your grasp.
I think I take a second just to give like an exasperated look to nobody who's always watching. And then I dive back down to see if I can find him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Buddy's a good guy.
Buddy is an absolutely good guy.
I want to peer back over the edge, like right as there's no one.
Yeah, you come in, it's just no one. Buddy, you dive back down and you look and you search, and the waters are murky. You see debris, you see fish. You don't see any of these creatures that Natasha saw, but you're starting to get that discomfort in your chest where your lungs are reminding you, hey, I can only do this for so long. You don't see them. And you have to wonder what could be in this water that would pull him down that quickly, that fast. Whatever it is, you're in the water with it.
I think he might go up for breath two or three times, but then he realizes that he's drowned. He was in here before I was, and he hasn't come up one time. I think at that point, if everyone on the pier is distracted, he's just going to find a beam, one of the support pillars, and climb out.
Okay.
Should I roll insight for...
I feel like you should roll insight every time you want to roll insight.
For that guy drowning?
On your watch.
The realization of, oh, he's dead?
I rolled a one again.
Oh my gosh.
You're just cool. You're chill.
That's amazing.
With this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of cool, I think when Buddy pulls himself out because he's shirtless right now.
Oh my God.
The other people are going to notice that he has this really elaborate tentacles tattoo.
Of course.
That starts on his back and it goes down the back of his arms as two tentacles because that's like how he imagines himself as a drummer, just like these flowing tentacles.
Mm.
Some drummers, like, I mean, they're so fast. Just when you watch them, it's like the flow of the arms isn't natural. And that's how he envisions himself. So he thought that, you know, he's like 19. He thought that was a really cool thing to get.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's dope.
Lucy probably is like totally smitten in that moment.
And he's embarrassed because he fell in front of Lucy, so he can't read the look.
Yeah, well, to be honest, her smitten look is still like a deer in headlights and like full of fear. So
fair, yeah.
These two sweeties. Oh, goodness. Okay.
It's okay. We'll ruin them together.
It's Nick. A love story, Bridget. Okay.
Oh, yeah. If we need to bring it back, there's a moment where Lucy, like, looks down at the waters now that are still again. Mom? And just shakes it off and...
Are you okay?
No, that man, I think he drowned. I really tried to help him.
I think he was drowning before he went in.
I'm sorry, what?
I think he was already drowning. I know it doesn't make sense, but the water, it wouldn't stop.
No. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. His daughter pushed him in.
I know, I don't know. And I look back, is she... I don't know. I don't know why I expect her to just have poofed out of existence. Is the daughter still around?
Yeah, and you know what she's done when you turn over? She's picked up her violin. She's begun to play again. And you remember, I can't play while he's drowning.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's done existing. I don't know if what you think comes next. I don't even know your name.
Buddy.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and this was terrible.
We should take this girl to those officers, I think.
I think she's okay. I think she just wants to play.
Buddy's so confused. It's like this isn't even happening because no one else is paying attention, right?
No. Nope. It's weird. It's not that they don't see you at all. It's just they're not engaging with whatever experience that you're engaging with.
Where's Tasha?
Maybe while you two were talking, she evened out a little bit. She stood up off the pier. She's straightened her, she's kind of like brushing herself off. And then if she can overhear that last little bit, almost casually, without really making eye contact with either one of you, she'll say, maybe it's a test.
Oh.
And at that point, Marisol chimes in. A test for what? You don't know how long the three of you have been on camera with her. You don't know what she's seen or what her experience is. She doesn't seem to be alarmed or upset or traumatized or has that 1,000-yard stare like you guys do, but she is dialed in on Natasha. A test for what?
I think Natasha just kind of stares at her for an uncomfortably long time, and then she'll say, who are you?
You can see her jaw twitch. And you recognize that she is irate that either you don't know who she is or you had the audacity to challenge her with that type of a question. One of the two ways, and she's pissed. She says, we'll make this short and easy, Natasha.
Please call me Tasha. Natasha is my mother.
And she gives you a grin. I saw your mother. That was very kind of her to see you off. She must be very proud.
Do you have a question for me, or?
I do, actually, as a matter of fact. Are you aware of the Miskatonic Shoreside Conservatory student expulsion policy?
I am.
Care to share your thoughts on such a policy?
Not really.
Follow-up question. Are you aware that students who are expelled are blackballed in the industry? I can give you some names if you'd like the receipts.
I don't need them. That doesn't really concern me.
Because you believe you're above expulsion?
I don't know if above is the right word.
What is the right word, Tasha?
Vulnerable to. I don't believe that I'm vulnerable to expulsion.
You know, it's very interesting. I was looking through some of the historical articles and interviews that your mother conducted. She made that exact same statement in an interview with, was that Providence 10 TV in 2020, perhaps? Sounds like that was embedded deep.
I don't know if she would pick up on this, but like there is something about the way that Tasha's like interacting with this person that where she doesn't even, she's not registering this as another human almost. Mm. Like this is like a trial that she has to get through almost. And so she's again just pretty locked down, especially because there's like the residual like just keep it together from the drowning incident. So I think that she's just like unnaturally still and unmoved by any of these questions.
A couple more questions while I have your time. I understand that your ferry departs very soon, if you don't mind.
I do mind.
Good. I'll move forward. Are you aware of the active Reddit thread that is going on with your fellow student, Lucy Bridges, in regards to some of her abstract art?
I think this kind of piques her curiosity because now we're talking about the competition. I'm not. What is the point of the article or thread?
Oh, it's very interesting. I should show you. We just don't have much time. And it doesn't appear that you're able to give me any additional insight. Huh. And then she just stares at you.
Our buddy and Lucy just like standing on the set, like watching this go down.
I'm imagining that there's like these two women are just like it's a battle of wills almost. Yeah. That there's like maybe there's like actual like heat kind of developing in between them where their like wills are like rubbing up against each other, you know, like the friction of it.
Yeah. And I think as Lucy hears her name, it's like if she could get any smaller, she does. And she like sort of sidles like behind Buddy. And just sort of, you know, whispers, not everyone understands.
Tasha is going to clock that a little bit and just like, you can't, the intention is unreadable, but she will move her body a little bit. So she is now like fully in between where, what was her name? Sorry.
Oh, Marisol.
Marisol. Oh, sorry. Who is this person? She's fully between Marisol and Buddy and Lucy behind her. So it's just like, it is. Like, she wants all of Marisol's attention on her.
Mm-hmm.
Marisol clocks this immediately. She watches that subtle shift in you, Tasha. She watches Lucy cow and go behind Buddy. And she looks you directly in your face, Tasha. She goes, oh, that's not the one that you need to protect. That one has left a wake of agony in these displays and installations that she calls art. Be mindful of the nightmares if she creates anything in front of you.
I appreciate the concern. Not everyone is able to understand art. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to give you more insight. Maybe if you work on developing better questions, your interviews will be more productive. Thank you for your time. And she just kind of like turns around and faces Lucy and Buddy and just says, shall we go?
Buddy looks at Lucy and says, you're an artist? I thought we were all musicians.
Sometimes there's music too.
You too? Looking at Tasha. Do you play music or?
No.
Okay. He's picking his shoes up off the pier. he's not going to put them on because he doesn't want to get them wet.
Oh, Buddy.
And I think it's safe to say, unless there are any objections from the players, that the three of your characters, Tasha, Lucy, and Buddy, to these beautiful, breathtaking sounds of an 8-year-old playing the violin on the pier, are able to walk up the ramp and finally board the ferry for your very brief 40-minute ride over to the Miskatonic Shoreside Conservatory. The views from this ferry are stunning. The bay is beautiful. And as you pull away from your past, as you pull away from whatever the hell just happened on the mainland, you can feel the anticipation building and the stress subsiding. I'm not going to say that there's a calm that settles over the three of you, because given what you just experienced, that would probably be dishonest. But what I will confirm is there's an inner connective tissue between the three of you that you can't deny at this moment. I'm not going to say it's strong enough as an attraction as much as it is an awareness, because the three of you undoubtedly know you experienced something that was isolated to just the three of you and the outside world didn't seem able to connect with. They didn't seem aware enough to connect with as you're about, let's say, 15 minutes away from docking on the island.
I think that Tasha's demeanor, like when she was talking to Marisol, I think that Tasha, there was like a hardness to her. There was like a stoniness to her that as they were on the boat and were getting away from the shore and it was just the three of them, there's a softening that happens, or at least a dropping of that absolute stoniness. She'll just kind of be looking around and just quiet, but her demeanor is different, noticeably different.
So why are you here, Tasha? I don't know if I know your name. What's your name?
My name is Tasha Ockberg. I'm here because I am a dancer and a choreographer.
Oh, what kind of dance?
I think that the most obvious label would be modern. It's not really easily kind of describable with any style. It's a fusion of many styles.
I hope I can see it.
I hope so too. I'm actually an admirer of your work, and I was an admirer of your mother's work as well.
Oh, yes, she was incredible. It's not always positive what I hear, so I appreciate your words. Which of her works, are there any in particular?
There was an installation that she did at the Modern Art Museum in Philadelphia. This was a few years back, but you'll have to forgive me, I don't remember the name of it. I just remember it being incredibly striking and many people being overcome when they were in its presence.
I think that one was Cleanse.
Yes, thank you, yes. It was beautiful.
Yeah, we were finding mud caked everywhere for days after that. Yeah, it was pretty brilliant. I hope I can, you know, do her justice with my own work. I'm still looking. I'm kind of looking for the next big inspiration, really, right now.
Well, you wouldn't be here if you weren't something special, so.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure you'll be great.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. You too, I can't wait to see what you do.
I sort of turn towards Buddy. Has he been, like, okay? Like, what is he?
Buddy's wearing a life jacket.
Aww. Yeah.
He's standing kind of at the edge of the boat, just staring into whatever the equivalent of the middle distance is in the water. He's got a towel draped over the life jacket. He's been quiet so far.
I say to Tasha, I think he might need us.
I think you're right. Tasha will stand up. I assume Lucy's going to walk over to him, so she'll follow.
Hey.
Hey, do you know what kind of fish are in this water?
Oh.
Do you think the captain knows?
Yeah, I bet the captain knows.
Are you a fisherman?
No, I just... Are there sharks or anything like that?
Are there freshwater sharks?
Alligators? I don't know.
I think there's all sorts of unknown in the depths below. They don't truly know what's down there, isn't that right? Yeah, I prefer not to go in myself.
He takes a couple steps back from the edge when Lucy says that. And then he'll turn and actually face them and say, not too many good Samaritans around anymore, I guess. That was so weird. Like, nobody gave a shit.
It almost felt staged, didn't it?
Human nature can be very ugly at times.
Maybe it was, like, stunt actors or something?
Maybe. I've seen similar, certainly.
Did we pass, though, if it was a test?
Oh.
They're taking us to the conservatory, I assume. Maybe it was to see how serious we were, how likely we were to flee.
Yeah, it was probably just a test. It was probably just a test, a show of sorts. But I saw truth in her eyes.
The girl?
Yeah, so I don't know.
How could someone that young be that good?
Weren't you?
No, I think I didn't even pick up a pair of drumsticks until I was 7 years old. I mean, I've probably practiced for three lifetimes by now, but I mean, she was so young, right?
What is good?
I mean, I don't even think I could describe the sound she made come out of that thing.
We did hear it.
Made me feel like a fraud. I mean, I'm fast, but I can't stir emotion like that.
Well, that's even more sign that it was something planned, right? Why would a prodigy be sitting on a dock outside of a creative conservatory like this? She's probably a student.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't know they took students that young, but... Well, if that's the type of student that comes out of here, I guess I'm glad I signed up.
You both, you signed up, of your own choice?
How else would we do it?
When you ask that, Tasha gets a look on her face.
Yeah.
Like she's thinking for a minute. Yes. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here. Some of us have to be here.
No, my parents didn't even know until I already accepted and did all the paperwork.
Did they not want you to come?
No, I think they did. They were really happy when I left. They already started to pack up my drums and move them into the attic. And the attic gets so hot. Anyway, if I do well here, I can buy whatever fucking drum kit I want, right?
Is that what you want? To buy your own drum kit? Is that all you want?
The first thing, maybe. I think I'd buy a better place for my parents and then a plane ticket for myself to go somewhere else.
Tasha, your phone activates with a chime for an incoming text message.
She has a very distinct chime set for mother. Is that the chime that I hear, or is it a different one?
This is a different one. It is not mother.
Great. So she pulls out, I'll pull out the phone and I'll look at the phone.
I really hope that the chime is just a recording of going, mother.
Mother. Tasha, you open up a text message from a number that you don't know.
Okay.
Given the area code, it looks like it's from possibly Providence, Rhode Island. And there is a breaking news article in regards to a recent suicide at an art installation within Providence. You know the art installation. It was Lucy's last project before finishing up here. It's actually the project that awarded her acceptance to the conservatory. And it's a really heartbreaking article where a mother of two broke into the art exhibit, hung herself dead center of the installation. She left a note. It looks like the press already got a hold of it. The language doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You're looking at a photo of it attached to this article. The writing is manic and desperate, but it has something to do with nightmares. She saw me. How does she know? And then another message populates. You recognize that article is from Elevated Arts. You must be getting a text from Marisol Priest. And the message just says, dot, dot, dot. Be careful with that one. With a winky face.
Okay, so first thing she does is blocks the number. and I think that she'll read the article and specifically the note, if there's the picture of the note, she'll read through that several times. And I think that I don't think she's going to say anything. I think that she's going to just kind of like, she'll put the phone away and she's just doing the kind of calculus in her head of like, this person seems very nice and there's almost an innocence to her. Is this an act or is this a truth? And she will only find that out through further observation. So she's going to keep this to herself.
Okay.
And she doesn't want to upset Buddy. He seems the fragile sort.
Oh, Buddy.
We must protect Buddy.
We must protect him.
I think Lucy sort of, you know, as there's like a lull, as they're, you know, riding on the ferry, I think she like takes out some headphones and puts them in and sort of looks out over the water and is just like playing something on repeat, just sort of off of her phone. And you just see her sort of kind of like zone out.
Buddy's just doing compulsive tapping now on the bench, just hands and feet going a mile a minute.
Okay. Alleviating stress however he can. The ferry eventually docks. There's a long pier that leads to the shore. This island, it looks completely forested, although there are some security lights right there on the shore. It looks like a freestanding monolith pillar almost, but it's encased in glass. There has a big blue light that's spiraling on the top of it, and then like a red phone and keypad. And anyone who's been on most college campuses can see that it's like one of their emergency, hey, you can tap into campus police or, you know, campus emergency services things there. There is a figure that you can kind of see standing on the boardwalk from her silhouette in this distance. You're assuming that maybe she's female, but you guys have docked and the captain will tell you congratulations and good luck. I'll see you on the ride back.
Thank you. It's a smooth ride. I'm going to carry my own stick bag. I'll leave the duffel bag.
Okay.
I don't trust them.
Hey, as we're walking, I go up to both Tasha and Buddy. Can we like hang out while we're here? I don't make friends easily. I don't even know if this is how.
I mean, we can, but there's probably going to be so many students here. You might not even want to hang out with us after you meet everybody.
No, I like you. Have nice tattoos.
Thanks.
I don't want to talk to anyone else.
Sure. I play drums a lot. If you don't mind the sound, I mean, like 12 hours a day at least. So I'm kind of hard to hang out with.
And then all of you hear a single gunshot. Somewhere on this pier with you. I need immediate reactions from the three of you.
Tasha hits the deck.
Okay. Buddy?
Yeah, same. I he thought about jumping in the water, but after earlier, no.
Fuck that water.
Buddy don't learn. Yeah.
Lucy.
Lucy is standing. She's looking to find it. Like her eyes just flit around trying to find the source.
As Lucy's head swivels from the left to the right and Buddy, your body hits the ground, confetti explodes all around the pier. Purple and silver confetti from these motion-activated confetti bombs just explode around you and the three of you are covered in a sheet of glitter as the same multicolored balloons are released from somewhere beneath this pier and swarm up around you. And there is the single sound of very excited clapping and whistling and cheering from whoever that individual is that you're still approaching at the end of the pier here.
Look, it's for us.
Holy fucking shit.
You're on the ground.
Yeah. Natasha's like, or Natasha's really, this is the second time she has been on a pier and gotten her clothes a little dirty. And so she's annoyed, just like standing up, brushing everything off.
They do this for every trio that comes in here? Jesus.
Maybe we're special. No, I think they do it for everyone.
No, but we are special. It's just that there are thousands of special people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We're all special. Do you need help?
I put my hands out, like I put two hands out. It's just like frail and like all clothes, but.
Yeah, Buddy grabs your arm, but then does all the work with his legs to get up. Yeah.
And quickly cutting through the mist, the fog of falling confetti, you see a black woman that's about 5'10". She has a fair complexion. Her hair is gorgeously designed in these super fresh box braids that are multicolored. Mm. It's the brown with the blonde with some weird red specks in it. And it's tied up into a fun bun. She's wearing what you would imagine like school camp clothes, like the khaki shorts. And then like there's a radiance about this woman. She is smiling with a level of joy and sincerity that you don't believe could be faked. This woman is genuinely excited and happy to see each and every one of you. And she approaches and she says, hello, hello, good morning. Welcome to the Miskatonic Shoreside Conservatory. We are honored to have the three of you join us. Lucy, Tasha, Buddy, my name is Uluru, but most people call me Rue. I will be your orientation specialist and your point person for the conservatory. So if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you need anything, I will always, always be your first stop. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so honored to have the three of you here.
Oh,
thank you. That's really loud, Rue. It's cool, but it's loud, you know?
I know. The post photos are really funny, though. You might not find them funny now, but the photos you see at the end with you guys on the deck, it's more like a rite of passage.
Oh.
It's just that with all the gun violence rampant in the world today, you'd think that maybe the balloons would be enough?
She nods, and she says, okay, I hear that you don't appreciate our welcome. I understand.
I liked it.
Good. And speaking of liking, I was a big, big fan of your recent installation in Providence. That was really stunning, Lucy. You brought your A game. Obviously, it was enough to award you access here, but honestly, it was. And as she's speaking and you're looking at her, Lucy, tell me a dish, a food that your mother used to make you for your birthdays when you were young that you absolutely loved. Now, mind you, you guys grew up in opulence. You guys had chefs. This woman never needed to cook.
Not on my mom's side, though. You know, right? Like, she grew up with so she would know how.
Yeah. So what's that dish that she probably stopped making as you reached your adolescence, but at least when you were a kid, what's that dish she used to make you every year for your birthday that you were willing to wait 365 days to get back to?
Mm-hmm. And in fact, she would insist, even though my father would say, just let the chefs do it, you know, she would insist that she needed to make this for me.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect, like, individual sized strawberry shortcake. Just for me, no one else. And it was like, you know, a small little cylinder, and there would be like the little strawberries would be aligned on top, almost like little rays of sunshine for each year as they went by. And eventually, though, they stopped. And I missed those and the strawberries so much.
Lucy, you're being spoken to by Rue. Rue is making very specific compliments about your art installation in Providence. I mean, it's not just, oh, it was nice, like you hear, oh, it was disturbing. Like, she's making very calculated, specific, comparative compliments in regards to your installation. And as she approaches you, you're not quite sure if it's the shampoo she's using or the body lotion. You smell fresh picked strawberries and you smell sugar. And you smell that softened butter smell that would come when your mother was softening the butter for the strawberry shortcakes. And it jars you for just a moment, until you finally get that smell of that cooked dough fresh out of the oven at 350 when it's coming off and it's slightly browned. And you're just smelling that caramelized sugar. And that's what Rue smells like to you, Lucy. She smells like home.
Oh.
And I think I inadvertently just like reached my hand out and touch her, like without even thinking, right? Like I grab her arm and almost go to hug her before I like freeze halfway through. I'm like, oh, sorry.
It's okay. For what it's worth, Lucy, you'll never be alone again. Okay?
Okay.
And she reaches out to you and she just very gently brushes your cheeks with the back of her hand. And as she's retracting her right hand, you notice that directly under the wrist, she has the tattoo of the Project Semicolon. Which, dear listeners, if you're not aware, Project Semicolon is a real-life nonprofit organization that defines itself as dedicated to presenting hope and love for those who are struggling with mental illness, suicide, addiction, and self-inquiry. Your story does not end. This is merely a breakpoint. It continues.
Mm. Thank you. It's so nice to meet you. I've never seen anyone so happy.
That's the shit people say about me all the time. That's so funny, sorry. She smiles and she says, welcome to the conservatory, Lucy. Tasha, hi. Welcome. And you notice that when she's speaking to you, her eyes drop a handful of degrees where she's not making direct eye contact with you. She's deliberately showing you deference for some reason.
I don't think that that's actually unknown to her. I feel like she's seen people react like that to mom, to dear old mom. So it doesn't really faze her. And she won't like remark on it at all.
From what I understand, and apologies, we can have this conversation more in private, but there are some differing opinions about your particular style of dance, which I'm personally a very big fan of. It took some time, but we were able to secure you a private instructor that I think will be ideal for a woman of your talents.
Excellent. And I believe that my mother was able to make arrangements that I would be able to have access to some of the other dancers for some of my pieces.
She looks at you, but again, her eyes are just short of center. Tasha, I'm going to tell you this now, as uncomfortable as it may be, but I want you to know that this is coming from a place of sincerity. We don't care who your mother is. Your mother has no sway here. She has no pull here. She is not here. You are. You can divorce yourself from that now.
Something is definitely shifting in her, but what she says is...
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I would still need access to other dancers for some of my pieces.
She nods.
If you would prefer that I ask for it, that's what I'm doing now.
We need you to trust that we know what we're doing. And we just need you to surrender, okay? This will be a lot easier if you try to get out of the driver's seat.
Okay.
And she smiles and... Tasha, she doesn't bow as much as she just drops her head in deference. And she turns over to you. She says, buddy, our natural talent, welcome to the conservatory.
Thank you. It's already been quite a ride to get here.
Has it? She looks concerned.
No, it's just, you know, personal stuff. Don't worry about it. No, this is really cool. It's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. It is very beautiful. It's probably one of my favorite locations here in the States. Okay, let me get you guys all loaded up into the vehicle. I will get you to the welcome cabin. We will go over some of the rules and the introductories, and then you will have a day to explore before classes begin on Monday. And buddy, as she is speaking and as she's moving and you're looking at her hand mannerisms and just, you know, the tone of her voice, she reminds you of a girl that you loved when you were living on the streets. And I'm saying that you loved very loosely because child love can be anywhere from God knows what to God knows what. But there was a girl who was also homeless on the streets with you, who doesn't look like Rue by any means, but speaks in a similar way, moves in a similar way, just has a similar aura about her. I would love for you to tee us up a scene anywhere during this time with you and whomever this girl is or was.
Yeah, that was Amy.
Amy.
She found a bike and, you know, she used to let me ride on the pegs and she would take me around the city and I don't know, it was like, you know, it was almost like being a normal kid when we did that. Like riding around the neighborhood, like we live there, proper, you know?
Yeah.
Amy always had a saying, as she said it all the time. What was Amy saying? What's a saying, a quote, a phrase, something she just always said?
For like a 9-year-old?
Yeah.
She always said, she said, just chill, buddy. It was always just chill. Because I was always worried.
Yeah.
Where was the next meal coming from? You know, were we going to go to school this year? You know, just chill.
So Rue looks over her shoulder at you and beckons the three of you along.
I don't want to get your seats wet. Should I walk?
No.
Oh, are you still soaking?
The jeans are, yeah.
Of course. Oh, is your shirt still off?
No, I put the shirt back on, but the jeans are wet. So just the bottom of the shirt is wet where it overlaps the jeans. Yeah.
Rue looks like, no, you don't have to walk, sweetie. It's fine. Come on. We'll get you in. You're sure you're okay? You just seem rattled.
No, it's you just reminded me of somebody. I'm okay.
She says, just chill. Everything's going to be okay. And she throws you a wink.
Oh, he physically reacts to that in a very awkward way. he freezes and then he takes a couple steps back and then he starts to inch forward again.
Is that insight worthy?
I think just chill is because it was like, it was almost repetitive. He would make fun of her for saying that because that was the answer to everything.
Just chill.
But nobody says that anymore. And especially adults. So
no.
Yeah.
And she landed that specifically after you said, you just reminded me of someone.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled a 6 that time.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. So your insight goes up by 1.
Finally. Yeah.
I know. When are you going to meet me at my 3?
Buddy, you take 2 steps back and you take 1 step forward and suddenly the beach is at night. Everything around you looks to be nocturnal. A gorgeous white moon hangs in the sky. The waters are lapping with like crisp flecks of silver that seem to be jumping off of it. And surrounding the exit of this pier is a candlelit procession of a group of people in black robes that are carrying a single torch and standing directly in front of you. Lucy is out of view. Tasha isn't here. You don't even know if these people are real or if they exist because your reality has been blurring so badly. And standing in front of you is Rue. She has the hood of her cloak pulled down and she steps forward to you just as you are making that step forward before your reality shifted. And she is holding out a candle towards you. And when you look at the candle, it's completely black and it's wrapped in a really gorgeous molding of tentacles where the tentacles are spiraling around the candle. They look very much like your tattoos. The flame on the top of the candle is flickering green and she extends it to you. And she looks to you and she says, you're going to feel so much more than the other two. I need you to trust us. And the candlelit procession of people echoes something in a language that you don't recognize, but it sounds very call and response. And she says, I need you to believe in us. I need you to trust me. Okay? And she offers you the candle.
With shaky hands, he's gonna reach out to grab it. Yeah. No, I'm chill.
She nods and she says, just chill. And she reaches out her right hand to cup the side of your face. And there's no absolutely denying it right now. It looks like she's getting ready to lean in to kiss you.
What? He is going to flinch away from that.
Buddy, you flinch away and she nods knowingly and she pulls her hand back and she says, just trust us. But this is going to be exceptionally difficult for you. But no matter what, we won't let you drown alone, okay?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you for listening to Ain't Slayed Nobody. For ad-free episodes, lots of bonus content, and special programming, please join our Wolf Pack at patreon.com/aintslayed. Or subscribe to Ain't Slayed Nobody Plus at Apple Podcasts. Nothing helps the show more than becoming a subscriber. See our show notes for full credits, and help us grow by posting friendly reviews and spreading the word to your friends and followers. Thank you, and good luck out there.